Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I'm excited to be practicing live. This is great.
I know. We haven't done this for a while, have we? Well, I mean, last Tuesday, but I mean, that the missing the, well, the for you afternoon, noon call, for me the morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so this is good.
This is good. It's great. Fabulous, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, Sherry, I want to encourage folks to get in the queue tonight and join this exciting conversation.
All right. Are people being shy?
Shy. That's funny. That's exactly the word I was going to use.
Being shy.
Huh?
All right.
And I have some announcements here.
Good. What's going on?
Gather with Sangha to welcome 2026 with a practice weekend you won't want to miss. This offering on January 3rd and 4th, that's this coming weekend, is based on the book, That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek. Participants will be looking at how a focus on seeking keeps us from finding what we're looking for. The book is required reading for the weekend, which is offered by donation.
Yes, and for anybody who finds that daunting, it's not War and Peace. You can make it through.
Great. And if you are relatively new to practice, or if you are an experienced practitioner and want to deepen your understanding of the foundational principles of practice, we have a year-long retreat for you. Our Beginner's Mind Retreat runs January 11th through November 15th and includes Sunday workshops exploring such terms and practices as directing attention, karmic conditioning, mentoring, and interviewing. It is one of two year-long retreats being offered in 2026.
And it's not an either-or. We are perfectly fine if people want to do both.
Great.
We encourage that kind of behavior.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that awareness practice fills up my whole day.
Say it again.
So that awareness practice fills up my whole day, my whole experience of life.
All week long, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There's always something for us to be focusing on, bringing our attention to, bringing us back to presence, ending suffering, let's face it. That's the point of all of this. So, yeah.
Yes. Reflexive Listening Buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins January 15th, and the deadline to register is this Thursday, January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting January 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. The deadline to register is also this Thursday, January 1st.
It's a fast life around practice, isn't it?
It is a fast life. And Sherry, did you know that if you can breathe, you can do yoga?
I had heard that rumor, and
yeah.
Yes, I believe it is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. A new quarter of this popular offering begins January 15th. All proceeds be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalamba, and the deadline to register is January 14th.
All right. We got a little Everything isn't on the first.
Right.
We got a couple of minutes before that one. All right, very good.
Yes. And if all that isn't enough, for these and other exciting practice opportunities, check out our 2026 practice calendar, now posted at livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a mouthful. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. You know, in the latest thing that I sent out, oh, never mind. It hasn't come out. I think it's going to come out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Never mind. But I'll just tell you, because I'm not giving anything away. But what I comment on is the activity of the stewards of this practice.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, just a list like that, and then there's, you know, have again as many more, if not more than that. And it's so much of it is being done by folks in Sangha, making all of these offerings available. So, yeah, it's good. We all work together. We accomplish a great deal, and it's all good.
It is all good. And as a steward myself, I have to say it's a huge blessing to my personal practice.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Just like the other things, it's such a support for practice. Yeah. In fact, I don't know where we were talking about this, but somebody in Sangha was talking about how being a steward, when it first started out, it was a to-do. You know, it was something that was on the to-do list, uh-huh. and, you know, you need to get it done and check it off, and there's a certain amount of anxiety with it, and are you going to do, you know, all of that sort of thing. And then as time went on and as the practice deepened, it moved to a place of, this is time for me. This is time for me to practice. This is a special time that I get to set aside to do this thing that will benefit me, yes, absolutely, but benefits so many others. It's such an act of generosity and service. And it went from being a to-do to something that it was one of the happiest, most precious times of the week. So there's that.
It, yes, absolutely. That's my experience mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make that show. And
Michael,
yeah.
Was your encouragement, was it successful? Did we get some
yes.
people to? Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Yes.
All right.
We can always count on Sangha, Sherry. Always.
I mean, the Sangha will show up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
All righty, let's talk to them, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. And first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Kim calling from Vashon. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Kim.
Hey. Gosh, it's so good to be live with you. I have been working my way through the 2025 year-long and listening to several shows every day, which, I mean, it's really interesting to notice from this vantage, you know, what the insights, you know, just, it's really, it's fascinating. So that's been kind of fun.
And may I, are you saying, seeing the difference in you going through it this time or
yes.
having gone through the whole thing? Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, no, just the difference in, you know, what I've processed and the insights and the practice, the different practices. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. but there's always a gem in every show or at least one. You know, there are
yes.
still things that are so helpful. And
yeah.
so,
yeah, and sometimes, yeah. You know, with that, we notice that I might not have really, that might not have really struck me the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
I hear something that it really feels like I didn't hear that the first
mm-hmm.
time. And
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes it's because I'm listening to something And even though I'm doing my best to stay with it, something really does strike me, and I get involved in that. You know, I'm looking at that, I'm thinking about that, and I don't realize it, but I've missed quite a bit. And then I go back and listen again, and there it is. So it really is kind of like the first time.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are shows, I think, that I remember hearing in the, you know, in the present, you know, when we did it, that are still, they just, you know, I was like, oh, I remember listening to this like five times in the day. So, you know, that's fun. And then, you know, seeing those insights again.
Like an old friend.
Yes. And it's good. It's not the same as being, you know, present with everybody, but it's a good hold me over until this week.
till the real thing comes along.
Yes. Yeah. So one question I have, and I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm very curious about our Buddhist beliefs around reincarnation.
There aren't any.
Or, well, I don't understand. I don't know. So there's no beliefs, right? Because we have no beliefs, but
we don't believe in stuff. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess,
Kim, it's beyond that. It's beyond that. It's that the Buddha never talked about it.
Ah.
So there are many, many notions about reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some branches of Buddhism, there are beliefs about reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Buddha, as far as we know, from everything that everybody ever said or recorded, he refused to talk about anything other than right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so those beliefs are largely, I mean, they're in other things too, but they come from Hinduism. Primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, and within Hinduism, you get a tremendous range of ideas about reincarnation and what that even is. You know, if even people who believe in reincarnation have different ideas about what it is that's reincarnating.
Yes. Okay. That's helping me.
And so how would it help you to noodle about that?
Well, not that you're leading the witness or anything.
No, not that my choice of words would give you a hint there.
I guess because my mom passed away this past year, and I just, like, I talk to her all the time. I feel her energy. She's here. And that said, like, is she coming back as a baby? Is her energy, is the karma that she didn't clean up going some, you know, that is noodling. I am noodling. I get it.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, and the interesting thing about that is that you feel her energy now.
Mm-hmm.
So why wonder what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah. Right. I guess I miss her, and I wonder.
But you're having the experience of her now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would leave that experience of her now to wonder about what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be if both of you are alive and you're spending time together, and what you're thinking about is what it would be like if she weren't here. Well, you're missing her being here, wondering about her not being here.
Okay. I'm in a place of koan with this. In this moment.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Kim, it doesn't need to be, because if you consider, okay, so reincarnation, that's a juicy topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's no different from what people are doing all the time. People want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. They want to know what's going to happen in a month. They want to know what's going to happen when they get old. So people being conditioned to leave the present, either to worry about something that happened in the past and tell those stories one more time, or wonder about what's going to happen in the future. All of it simply takes us away from the one experience that is possible for us, which is this one, to be here for this.
Yeah.
And to me, the most essential part of that is you're never going to know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So it's just such a, for me, anyway, it's just such a colossal waste of everything. Waste of time, waste of energy, waste of everything. And, of course, it does feed ego. So when we put all of those together, we can really look at it. What am I getting out of this? What am I actually getting out of? We know what ego is getting out of this. Right? A lot of time when a human being isn't present and is noodling around with, oh, I wonder, okay. So that's very good for ego. But what is the human being actually getting out of that?
Nothing. Just taken out of the present.
Yeah. Missing life.
Well, so here's kind of, I mean, beside my mother dying, people sometimes, you know, they ask me like, well, you're Buddhist. Like, well, what happens when you die? And
well,
I'm like,
I don't know. If I were Christian, if I were Jewish, if I were Muslim, if I were, nobody knows. Yeah.
And I sometimes say many Buddhists believe in reincarnation, but I don't know what that means, you know, exactly.
Well, and I would say many Buddhists don't.
And many Buddhists don't. Okay.
There are a few who do.
All right.
You know, of all the of all of the sects that exist, it's not a dominant notion.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be my go-to. There are two things about it. One, the Buddha didn't talk about it.
Right.
So that's a big clue for us. And number two, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. You know, Christians who have, you know, one of the, what would we say? You know, there's so much information about what Jesus said. About what he taught. Now, again, it's like the Buddha or anybody else. You know, how much of it is so? And we know about projection and how you say something and I hear something quite different. However, there's a lot about what he said. And he didn't talk about it.
Right.
The closest he came was, as far as I know, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is within you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And we create our heaven and hell on earth. I mean, that I understand. Much closer to,
yeah. Samsara and nirvana are one. Choose.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful.
You are so
to have
welcome.
Had this time to talk about this and let it go now.
Yes, exactly. Very good. All right. Thank you, Kim.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller. Let's try this. Oh, let me try the right button here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Anna from Seattle.
Well, hello, Anna.
Hi. How are you? I guess I'm just doing Q practice. Let's see what I want to talk about, or if anything's going to drop in.
Well, what's been going on in practice? What'd you spend the day with?
Oh, well, I kind of like often like just voices, you know, like saying, oh, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I need to find what I'm going to do with my life. What is, like, I want to find a passion. That kind of thing is going on often. You know, if I'm sometimes unhappy with my work or things like that. And also, like, hanging out with my boyfriend. It's, you know, kind of feeling like, oh, I should be doing something because just being, ego is not happy with.
Yeah, is there, does that seem like a strange thing to say to me? You should be doing something because just being doesn't seem like quite enough?
Well, does it seem strange to say it to you?
Well, I mean, you probably heard me say several thousand times that egocentricity is doing, and what we're practicing is being present, being here in the moment with whatever is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling that anxiety and fear coming up when nothing, in quotes, nothing drops in, you know?
Okay, nice. And may I just give you the you know, the answer to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So when ego is not being reflected, when there's nothing going on that is reflecting ego,
yeah,
it starts talking about being bored.
Mm-hmm.
There's anxiety. There's fear, worry. There are questions like, what should I be doing? What is wrong with my life? That there's nothing that, yeah? Because ego isn't being reflected. But if you were, say you were having relationship problems, right? Would you be thinking about, I need a passion in my life because there's nothing that I am doing that is, no. You wouldn't think about that at all, right? Because the ego voices would want you to be obsessively focused on the relationship. Or if something really bad happens at work, the ego voices, the voices in your head, want you to obsess about that, about what he said or she said or what they did and what this means, and right? But that's not going on. The relationship is fine. Work is okay. I mean, it's not swell, but it's okay. Right? They're not going to fire you, and you're not ready to quit, so it's okay. So there's really no drama for ego to get your attention with.
Mm.
So then it falls back on, well, you don't have a passion, and there's nothing going on, and you're trained, you're conditioned to start feeling anxious when you hear those messages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can start seeing it as a pattern. It's a thing. It's a thing that goes on. And we can watch ourselves, once we catch on to that, we can watch ourselves cycle through it. It's like, what is the ego drama du jour? Right? What does ego want to be meh about today? And if there isn't anything, then the fact that there isn't anything becomes the problem.
Yeah.
When actually what's available to us is to just relax and enjoy life. Was it sunny in Seattle today?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stunning. Yeah. I mean, you can go for a walk. You can sit in the park in the sun and read a book. You can listen to, you know, your favorite music. You can dance along down a path somewhere. You know, there are a thousand ways to enjoy being alive. For ego, that's not enough. But for us, if we want to be happy, that's got to be enough.
Yeah, it's always the story. It's always, and I believe that really, you know, that, yeah, I should be like finding something that I want to do also to earn money, you know, like a different profession, something like, I don't know, but nothing is coming to me, you know, what to do about that.
Yeah, and so maybe it's not time.
Yeah.
And you know, Anna, the other thing about it is, so if you have the experience, and I hope you do, if you don't, then make this your passion, okay? If you have the experience of being lived by life, not just guided, but really lived, right? That life is constantly just, you're there, and it's the now thing, and the now thing, and the now thing, and the now thing. Okay, it just comes together, it flows along. You know, we're trained, I like this, I don't like that, I wish it had gone this way, it didn't go that way, oh well, okay. But if we don't get caught with the voices, then, you know, things happen. You have a cavity, you need to go to the dentist, or you know, whatever it is. You're out of food, you need to go to the grocery store. Okay, that kind of thing happens in life. It does. And we're trained to not want that and to resent that and, you know, whatever is going on about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can allow ourselves just to be lived by life
yeah.
will give you the direction. But when ego comes in with that, well, what are you going to do? And you should have something, and you need to be earning more money. And if you could figure out what you need, you know, even life can't get through that. Because life's messages are very, very subtle. And ego is very loud and demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
So more time of sitting quietly, just being open to what drops in. You know, following those breadcrumbs we always talk about. Somebody mentions this, and you say, oh, that's interesting. I think I'll look into that. Maybe it goes somewhere, maybe it goes nowhere. Something else drops in. You say, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. I wonder what that would be. Not to noodle it, but just if it seems like something to look into, you look into it. If it goes somewhere, it goes somewhere. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you're open.
Yeah. Okay. So asking what now life, you know, I feel like I'm asking that too much. I'm like,
well, what you
now?
Know, you can do it all the time. But don't expect it to say, go buy a lottery ticket because you're going to win the whatever that thing is called.
No.
Okay. Yeah. What now life? Well, you know, do the dishes. What now life? Well, how about a walk? What now life? Well, you know, you've been wanting to write to so-and-so. What now life? Well, fold the laundry. Hey, your life, your life as it is enough. It's a life. It's a full, good life as it is. Only ego says it needs to be more. It needs to be different.
Okay.
What we need to do is enjoy the life we have. And as we enjoy the life we have, it will expand.
Okay.
If we're constantly complaining and railing against it, it gets as small as those complaints.
Okay.
Yeah. So just be a friend to life. Just whatever. Whatever. Just go to the grocery store. Let's fix a meal.
Yeah.
Let's call a friend.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anna.
Okay. Bye.
Go happy.
Yeah. You too. Bye.
All right.
Thank you, Anna, for joining us. And Anna, I cannot mute you. If you could call back in or mute yourself, that is fabulous.
Okay.
And Sherry, it's time for a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Very good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And Jen, your good news guest is now live, and I'm turning it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry, who is here to speak with us about an experience that she's had this year in finding a very fun way to support the project in Cantaloupe. Welcome, Sherry.
Hey, Jen. Hi. So glad to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us. I was really thinking about that, the end of that last conversation, because my understanding is this is something you've been doing for years and years and years. And it just dropped in this year that you saw this way that it could go with supporting Cantaloupe.
Yes, I was just thinking of that too when, you know, when Sherry said, you know, be open to what drops in, be lived by life. I feel so held in that way by this project. I'm so grateful.
So tell us how it all unfolded.
Yeah, so I know I've spoken about this here and there because this I had an idea many years ago now. It was my 48th birthday, and I was at the monastery, and I was had an idea drop in then that one of the ways I could celebrate my birthday, which up until then was kind of usually fraught, too much attention, not enough attention, a lot of conditioning. And when I was at the monastery, the idea dropped in to write love letters to people. And the first year I did it, it was really a lot. I did 48 letters in 48 hours, and that was way too much. So since then, every year I've done the number of years that I've been on the planet, I've done that number of letters in that many days, which is much more doable.
Yeah.
And this year, I didn't start my birthday project because I was really lost in grief during that time, which is in October. However, I came up for air at one moment and realized a couple months into the deepest grief that maybe I could just start the project a couple months late and that it would help me navigate the grief by loving other people through their own grief and loss. So typically what I do is, you know, I have a community of people from my work, and I usually just reach out to them and say, hey, do you know anybody who's grieving, lost, lonely, going through a divorce, ill, you know, someone who's really just having a hard time of it right now and could use a love letter. Usually I send them from the universe, so they're anonymous. Sometimes if the person wants it on their behalf, I'll do that. But typically they're just anonymous and they come from the universe to the person.
You know, it strikes me, Sherry, this is not, I know where you're going to, there's more to it, but just from the get-go, right at the initial insight, it's so lovely that sort of the awareness of, you know, my birthday's fraught, right? There's all these conditioned patterns around it from what you described. And so what's the antidote? Get the attention off of that illusory me, right? And then and be led by life. And there's this idea that drops in. And then you've been doing it ever since. And then almost the way you describe it, it's almost like that insight came around again through that grief. Is, you know, you were really, really grieving. And then in that bubbled that insight back up of, okay, how about reaching out? And maybe that will assist in your own process.
Oh, Jen, so beautiful the way you just said that. That's exactly it. And I just love that, right? I mean, it's true that it's like life in its infinite wisdom, you know, as the guide always says, it's like came through. And I also, truthfully, I kind of like that this for the first time, I'm usually like really like, oh, I have to start it on my birthday and blah, blah, blah. But of it too, that it's like I just said to people, I was deep in grief and couldn't do this project, but now I can.
Exactly. And so say more, Sherry, about how it connected up with the bridge walk, because that was just such a beautiful piece of it as well.
All right. So then, you know, so I was getting all the emails about the bridge walk during, you know, this time of deep grief where I was barely able to function, truthfully, just really surviving. And again, it's interesting, right? Like, I think I came up for air and happened to, you know, I was still opening them, but that wasn't really registering a whole lot. But I don't know, there was one of them, and now I don't even remember. I don't even remember, but how you were sending out these, like, hey, do this or do that, or, you know, maybe it said something like something you're already doing that you could connect. That might have been it. But again, I didn't think of it. Life said, hey, you know, you're writing these letters. You could just put the offer out there to people that if they wanted to, you know, make an offering in exchange, they can. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know. I like having it be no strings attached. But it wasn't a string attached. And I found a way to word it that I just, After I sent, letter day, and after I sent whatever letter that was, I would just say, hey, I'm a part of this beautiful community that supports these children in Africa. I send them just a little snippet from the website and a link. And I said, you know, no obligation, but if this is something that, you know, touches you in some way, an offering would be really well received, and it goes a really long way.
And first of all, again, I love that it dropped in. You said yes. You know, there was the predicted ego pushback on it. You said yes. You did it anyway. And I think you've gotten some pretty amazing responses.
I have. That was the most, like, so, you know, this was the most beautiful thing was the very first letter, the first one I sent. I was so nervous, right? Because I don't know. You know, conditioning was at me. That very first person, of course, as people have, you know, said over and over and over again, and I know this, you know, she was like, oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. Thank you. Mm. Right? Mm. Thank you for this opportunity. Mm. This looks like a beautiful project. Mm. And she just donated right away, right? And more money than I had expected, you know? Right. And then, of course, as you might guess, you know, there have been a couple people who haven't donated, and that's absolutely fine. But far and wide, you know, it's like so far people have been responding really well.
I mean, everything about it is so exactly what we practice. You know, that, it, I mean, and very much that conversation that was just had tonight on Open Air, that it isn't up to us to decide and to sit there and noodle it. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are people going to think? And because the truth is, we'll never have any idea. You know, I mean, we can sit there and quote think about that all day long, and we'll have no idea. And so, just to have the courage, first of all, to be quiet enough to hear each of those prompts that you describe over many, many years. So to have a practice that allows us to have enough stillness to be able to hear those prompts. And also a practice that helps us with the courage to follow them. And what comes back from it? This beautiful reward. I mean, it's that thing, the more we give, the more we get, you know? And when we listen to those prompts, all these beautiful things come from that that I would never have thought of or, you know, been able to make happen. But when I'm willing to do the process that you're describing, it happens. That's how life unfolds.
Right. Jen, and you know what? Something dropped in that I haven't even seen about all this until this second, which again, right, I love that, right? We're in the moment here. Mm-hmm. Typically, when I send out these emails to my community, I usually have a subject line that says something like, do you know someone who needs a boost of love? Or something like that. You know, just, do you know someone who needs a boost of love? Do you know someone who's grieving, lost, or lonely? And in this case, I was the first one. I was the first one who really needed love. So sending the letters was a way to offer love. And then the person who requests the letter also receives love because they're getting that sent, you know, they're asking for a letter for someone they love, and it feels good. Yeah. And then someone gets a letter, and then now we've added like a whole nother circle, which is that the children of Africa also need love.
Yeah, that's right. And how loved I project, because this is my experience, how loved I feel when I participate in that way.
Yeah.
That, you know, so many people have pointed at that on these Good News Updates, of talking about participating in the Bird Walk. But exactly as you said with the letters, that in participating, we're the first recipients of that love. It's a concrete way for us to experience that oneness, that love that is the oneness.
Right. And so in this case, like, it kind of, quote unquote, it doesn't start with me, right? Of course, it starts with life. But, you know, like, it is like, to me, this whole circle of love, because there's that moment then, you know, and I let them add up a little bit, and then I donate them. And, you know, so I have some more ready to donate. But it's like, when I get to hit that donate button, it feels so good.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. I am having the same experience here. I finally got my letters out to everyone, and same thing. People are just thrilled to be asked.
Aww.
And, you know, some people you don't hear from, and that's fine. You know, that's completely fine. But the people who write back and just are so moved by the project and so happy to be asked. And then we just, as you say, it's just that circle of love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, just a quick moment, something else just dropped in that I think is really connected that I've never seen, which is I've been asking for a lot of help during this time, you know, from our practice, from my friends, from people I love. And inevitably, people always say, it feels so good to be asked.
Yeah.
And, right? And it's easy to forget that it is a gift back. Like, I know people are really appreciative that I send these letters. And it's really lovely that they get to also give something.
Yeah. Boy, I'm really glad you made that final connection, because that is absolutely my experience. When someone I love reaches out to me, as you say, either, you know, asking for assistance and also saying, you know, here's this thing that's near and dear to my heart. I'm inviting you to donate to it. I love that. I love, because it's a way for me to connect with them and see something that's important to them. Mm-hmm. It's very much a connection point of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just love, like, again, this happened way, way back, you know, at the monastery all those years ago. And it's like, it keeps, you know, adding more layers of meaning. And, you know, I'm sure I'll continue to do this part of it now for here on in. It's beautiful.
It really is. Well, thank you so much, Sherry, for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Oh, thank you. I've gotten to see so much more. Thank you so much.
All right. Go happy.
Deep Gosho. Bye-bye.
Gosho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sherry. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was fabulous.
Don't you just love love?
Yes, I do love
Isn't
love.
Isn't it just the best?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that image of that circle, that expanding circle. It strikes me, I don't know this, of course, but it strikes me that it's so far beyond even what Sherry and Jen were talking about, because everyone who is a recipient or an offerer of that love, that changes, you know, that changes us to be in that position. Either the recipient or the offerer, we're changed. We're different as a result of that. We're kinder, we're more loving, we're more generous, right? More present, more available. And so there's whoever is the direct participant in that, and then everyone in their circle benefits. And then it goes out from there. Everyone in their circle benefits. Everyone in their circle. And it just grows in ways that of course we'll never know, and can't really imagine, but have a sense of.
Yes, exactly. I was going right there with you, Sherry. Yep.
Yeah.
Complete. Yes.
Love it.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Sydney.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. I'm ringing to call in with my Africa Project story, too. So I had this idea last year, during the Bridgewalk campaign, that I could sell my saxophone. I used to play saxophone many years ago.
Oh.
I was madly, deeply in love with it. I had to stop playing for health reasons, and I hadn't played for decades, but I haven't sort of been able to part with the instrument. And it's been sitting in my flat, which is small, and for many years it was in storage, so I just sort of didn't think about it. And I had this idea, I could sell my saxophone. And then I sort of didn't kind of know how to go about it. And a friend of mine suggested that her brother, who played saxophone and was a sax teacher, would have a look at it and tell me how much it was worth, because I had no idea. Mm. And there were just so many, it just, the whole process, Sherry, was just sort of incredible. But I eventually rang him, spoke to him. He said, yeah, sure, I'm happy to do that. My friend picked it up, took it to him. He rang me back and said, yeah, I had a play. It sounds nice. It needs work done. I'll take it to my guy who does work, see what he says. He did that and it got back. And then he rang me back and said, look, I'd like to buy it. Which, because wow. Part of the problem was like, it felt complicated. It's a heavy thing. I'm not mobile. How do I go about trying to sell it? And he said, you know, I'd like to buy it. This is, I give you this much money for it. I was like, wow, okay, that's amazing. And he dropped the money to my door. And then I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that I would never see it again. And I texted him and said, could you take some photographs of it? So he took photographs for me. And then on Christmas Day, my friend visited and he'd printed out a copy of a photograph for me to give to me. And he also said, you know, when he's had it fixed up, that he'll play something and record it and send it to me.
Oh. And it's all, it's shiny and loved, and you project.
And it will be played, and yeah. I knew it was a good instrument, like it had a really beautiful tone, and I thought it was worth something to somebody, and I wanted it to be played again, and mm-hmm. it was just such mm-hmm. a happy making, the whole thing, and you know, I had enough money to contribute to the Africa Project, and and I told a friend a little while later, you know, I just sold my saxophone. She went, oh, and I went, no,
it was a miracle every step of the way.
It really felt like a miracle every step of the way. So, yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah. As you know, I'm sure, that's kind of what I was attempting to articulate a couple of calls ago, right? That how it just comes together. It drops in, and it's what Sherry was describing too, right? Idea is there, you say yes to it, and it all just falls into place. It has that meant to be.
Yes, and even, you know, because it took me nearly 12 months to make the phone call to him, even though I'd had his number. But even that's part of it too. It's like when the right time was there, I made the call, and then it just flowed perfectly.
And I
got to see her brother, who I haven't seen for years and years and years, when he dropped the money off, and that was a lovely thing too. So, really
just
had
so
a
much
profound
goodness
impact.
Yeah, so much goodness in every direction. Just all of it coming from love and kindness.
Yeah, and then I think what I realized when I just heard the last call was like, I think I now need to send him a link to the Africa Project to show him where half that money went.
Oh, yes.
And that's sort of the sort of completion of the circle.
Yes, because then that's an extra feel good for him, right?
Yeah,
that it's the ideal, right? He has this saxophone, right? Well, both these guys, I guess, you know, the part that we play in it, but especially the fellow that has the saxophone, and then to see, oh, not only did I get the saxophone, but the money that I paid for the saxophone also went to this great cause, and kids are going to eat as a result of that. well, this is just as good as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it just feels so complete
gorgeous.
And so perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to put that in.
And, you know, Barbara, it's again, it's that place that is so hard for, it's so hard to describe, and it's so hard for us to accept because we're so conditioned, that really is the way life works. That's how life works. You know, we're so trained to be putting ego stumbling blocks in front of everything. You know, listening to, oh, I don't want to, it's too hard, or I can't, and it's not going to, and who's going to, and how, and I just can't. Yeah, but when we say yes, then that's our experience of what life is like. Suddenly, it becomes not only easy in a way that we would have never believed it could be, but it's that goodness, it's the beauty and the joy that we see in little things and big things, right? That kind of transformation in life after life after life as people step up and say yes to the best in themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. Well, it was a real source of joy and continues to be. When I'm sit on my bed and I'm looking at the space where the saxophone used to sit, so even that now is like a source of joy.
Makes you smile. Yeah,
makes you smile every time.
And that, I don't know, you've probably heard me talk about this, but I don't make too much distinction between animate and inanimate. I think everything is animate, personally. And so I think that saxophone was loved being with you and loved by you, and then probably spent enough time in solitude, and to be brought out and to be loved and tenderly brought back to the very best that it can be, and then to be played and appreciated and enjoyed, you know, that's a lot of pleasure.
Yeah, and then it just occurred to me that he is also a Zen practitioner, many, many year Zen practitioner, so he will definitely attend beautifully to that instrument.
Yes, yes, and love it the way
we all
want to be loved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
okay.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Barbara. What a great tale. Yeah.
I really wanted to share it because it felt pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah,
go well. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And, yes, Sherry, that was a fabulous tale.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that happy saxophone.
And we have time for one more call here at least.
All right.
Next call. You are next.
Hi, Sherry.
Here, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, I'm so glad I got on, Sherry. I need support right now. Like, I just need a lot of support. And I was calling to get support.
What's going on?
And I will sign up for the Socratic email class, but Lillian's bat mitzvah is with like 150 people coming is January 17th. She's gotten herself through a bout of OCD where the context is irrational thoughts. Part of that was when she was very young, was like not let like her dad couldn't touch her, and then her mom couldn't touch her also, and then there was poisonous gas. And like, you know, it's irrational, but it's OCD. So through training
and going up against this?
My daughter.
Who are we talking about?
My daughter. Oh, my God.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So
all right.
The symptoms have been coming back up and they're strong right now. And the trigger for her intolerance is me. And she can't bear being around me. So at first I was taking things very personally, but then I could see, you know, I mean, And now we can all see, like, you know, she just couldn't use the step stool I had offered to her because it was by my desk. And then she went to the bathroom to wash her, as she washed her sweatshirt up to her forearms. And, you know, and she's trying to, like, do a limited form of exposure therapy with me. And then have me leave her alone after a week. But this is not going to go away. The bat mitzvah is coming. It's a lot of stress because she's involved with the planning. And
she wants to do it.
No, she doesn't want to admit she has OCD, so she thinks this is me never being able to, like, always believing she has mental illness, because I have it in my family, you know. So she thinks I'll never believe that she doesn't have it. But that's not the case. Like, at this point, it's irrefutable. Newly so for Dan and me. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. You blipped out for just a second. You're
okay,
back.
I said it's irrefutable now. Newly so for Dan and me, because, I mean, he just chalked it up to her being terribly annoyed by her mother. But it's clear now. It's beyond, you know, it's gone beyond the rational. And so, like, there's a lot for her to lose right now. I mean, there's been a lot. She's, you know, been dropping her friends, not reciprocating, not engaging. Like, there's a lot of troubling behaviors, which even a friend, you know, a dear friend that, you know, her daughter's very good friends with Lillian, and she has spent a number of days of the vacation with this friend and family part of the time, and they have noticed she's off her game. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know what to do. What occurred to me while I was listening to the call was just, instead of her bossing us, because she's very strong in her arguments and really wanting us all to believe that this is not happening, even lying, like, just blatantly, you know. So, like, she's got voices in her head she's listening to that aren't so. And I think probably, you know, she might need to get back on medication, which she's, you know, weaned herself off, and she's been fine for like 3 or 4 years, you know, like, just, we all wanted to believe this was over.
Right. But then, like, comes puberty.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And there is an intolerance of mom. I mean, that's true. But it's beyond what's rational. Like, the behavior is very off-putting. You know, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, right now, 3 times a day she has to touch me, but she's joking it off like it's nothing for her. And the rest of the time I'm not allowed to say anything, you know, do anything, like, nothing. But with this strategy,
You're working with a therapist, I imagine. Who's
no, not yet. No, no. She's agreed to go after the bat mitzvah once, because all of this is fresh, really fresh. Like, the extent, I learned not to take it personally on Christmas, because I saw this weird eye thing that I thought was just me. But anyway, it's very sad, and it's there's a lot at stake right now. So anyway, I have recorded several experiences of her. When I did it a second time, she's asking me to enforce it because those are her rights as a, you know, as a person. She could have me arrested, kind of thing. And I said I'm going to use it as a tool for me, you know, in the session with Nick, or as I land with a therapist somewhere. You know, I want to introduce the therapist to what's happening, and this is my introduction to you. And then I'll delete it. But anyway, that's the content. my thought was, like, look, if you want the bat mitzvah, you know, this is what came to me during the show. If you want to be in the bat mitzvah, you have to train, and you have to be willing to see the psychiatrist and the therapist, and we have to try and make appointments as soon as we can. You have to start training. Like, we can't look askance anymore.
So she's not worried that she's going to blow the bat mitzvah.
No, she thinks that if I were out of the picture, that none of this would be happening. because she does. Uh-huh. She doesn't. She's. All of this is so fresh, Sherry. It's like real time. It's happening. Like at dinner uh-huh. tonight was suddenly like, oh, okay. So.
Oh my God.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, do we call like you know, without if we continue to just allow her to be alone in a room by herself on her computer, doing her homework or whatever, and trusting her, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need help. You need support.
I need support.
Dad does.
I'm signing up for Socratic email.
Yeah.
I did my
well, but yeah, but I mean professionally too. That just to feel like you have somebody who can say, well, we can try this. We can try that. You know, we think it's this. We've seen this before.
We have seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. And and for especially for you and Dan to have support to get through this. I mean, not, you know.
Because the understanding is I'm the one who needs support. She's, for Lillian, I'm the one who needs therapy, not her, because my belief is always that she has mental illness. So
your belief is that what?
So in her mind, I'm the one who needs the therapist, not her, because I have this belief that she has mental illness and she'll never be able to disprove that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna look into a couple of things, and then I'm going to get back with you in a couple of days.
Yeah, because we're out of time, and it's a big, it's a big thing.
Well, it is big. It is beyond big. Yeah. And so, just a couple of things that I want to look into. I want to talk to Ashwini about a couple of things, and then get back with you. So give me a couple of days to do that. Okay.
Oh, bless your heart.
Then I'll reach out for a time that we can get together. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, just thank God for practice, right?
Thank God for practice. I'm practicing so hard. I'm up early.
And you're not going to. Yeah. So that's good. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk to you then.
All
right,
Sherry.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
So thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. Wow, Sherry.
Life with some curveballs, huh?
Yeah, curveballs. Yeah, and like you said, thank God for Sangha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for practice, for just just that the comfort of knowing I'm doing the best I can. We're all doing the best we can, and so we don't have to have. We don't have to believe voices in the head that want to make it our fault or something wrong with us or something wrong, period, something wrong with anybody. So, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Go ahead, Michael. What?
Just holding hands as Sangha as we all do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Goodness. All right.
Sure.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.